Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erios original.
You think you have the potential to be a serial killer?
No, but I think I could get killed.
You're on the opposite side. Yeah. So I was thinking, I was like, oh, I could be that murderer. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. Welcome to The Margaret Cho, where we talk to people you know and people you should know. It's Mortal Minority Month, and today we are talking with Irene Tu about Charles Ng. Thank you for coming. Oh, I like your shirt. That's snakes.
Thank you so much. Is it too much with the green on green?
I love it.
Great.
Because this doesn't read as like, you know, like sometimes like a sage or army green, it really reads almost like black or white. There's something neutral about it.
Okay.
So it looks good.
Thank you.
But I love snakes. I have a lot of tattoos of snakes.
Uh-huh.
And I love them as an animal.
I don't really know that much about snakes.
They're really beautiful. When I go to Hong Kong, I'll have some snake soup.
Sure.
Which tastes like...
I feel like everything tastes like chicken.
It tastes like chicken, but it like really does taste like Campbell's chicken noodle soup. There's something very, very chickeny, but also very like American about the chicken soup that you have. Like, no, the snake soup.
Huh.
Have you had it?
No, I actually have not. I would love to.
It's very stringy in the same way that chicken is, but I think it's something that you eat like in the winter.
Okay.
When it gets cold.
But it's not like one of those things that you eat because it like... gives you more
I think there's
libido
an,
or whatever.
I think there's an element of that.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to do that, then you would have like maybe the snake heart in like rice wine or like bile or blood.
Yeah.
But when you like just eat snake, it's kind of, I think it's just like a sort of a winter kind of a comfort food.
Huh.
It's
so
good.
It's just like chicken noodle soup.
It tastes like chicken noodle soup from an envelope, not even a can.
From an envelope.
You know, maybe it's a place I went, but it does have like,
that's
if
so
you
funny.
Put it inside some sour cream, you could make a dip. That kind of a feeling. Although
which
I wouldn't serve that.
You just serve that at your Super Bowl party.
Maybe.
You know? It's like
I might
seven
not.
Layer dip with snake. Yeah.
I might not, but... I used to have a few bottles of snake wine, which I think is Vietnamese.
And that's the wine's made out of snake?
No, but they like package it with a snake inside to make
Whoa.
It sort of like look exotic.
Okay.
I never drank it, so I don't really know because I don't really drink alcohol because I get red. Do you get red?
Oh, yeah. I can't drink alcohol. I think I'm like very allergic.
Yeah.
And if I drink any amount of hard liquor within an hour, I will like vomit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard for our system. And the only kind of alcohol that I don't have a bad reaction to is probably like soju because
really?
It's Korean. But it's still,
that's like a high alcohol content.
Very high. And it tastes like kerosene.
It's terrible.
It's gross. But I get very, very red.
But you can still hold it down.
Pretty much, but it's just like, I mean, you know, all sorts of any kind of like alcohol is never good.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I could drink, but I don't like the taste of it, is beer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, I don't like how it tastes. And
yeah.
I can't get drunk because mm-hmm. I just start vomiting.
Yeah.
So there's never like a fun drunk period.
No. It's so, better to not drink anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you know, when I was in college and stuff, you know, like people drink and I'm just like, well, I'm just here and boring.
Right, or like in comedy.
Well, and comedy's all in bars, too.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, let's hang out and drink. And I'm like, I'll just drink water.
Right. It's just, well, most comics I know smoke pot. That's sort of like the comics drug.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of comics are also sober now. So
yeah.
It's also totally fine if you don't
yeah.
drink.
Right. I mean, I like it. I'm sober myself. So I like being without substances. It just makes my life easier.
Yeah.
But I remember when I would smoke pot, I would smoke pot with other comics. We would always go outside.
Yeah, I mean,
pot.
I'll still go hang out in the pot circle outside. Yeah. I'm just hanging.
Yeah, they're all fun people out there.
Yeah, totally.
So you never did drugs or anything like that?
No, I've tried pot one time in college. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Maybe I did it wrong. Truly don't know.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is not for me anyway. So I just was like, whatever. Yeah.
And it's bad to smoke anyway.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I already am like pretty sensitive to like that kind of stuff, like dust, smoke.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I'm inhaling it, I don't think it's going to make me feel better.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. Well, I'm so happy to be with you here. Now, what we're doing, it's an episode of my podcast. It's called Mortal Minorities, where we talk about Asian Americans who are either perpetrators of crimes or are victims of crimes.
I love it.
And do you have a true crime interest?
I love watching all those kind of like shows on TV, like SVU, NCIS, Criminal Minds. Mm. I mean, not that all of those are fake, you know.
Well, they're actually based on true cases, some of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but the shows itself, it's not right. Real people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really follow the real killers.
Mm-hmm.
I only know from TV shows.
Right. Yeah. Right. I do like crime TV shows myself. And then I think that, and I'm very interested in true crime podcasts and that kind of stuff. I think because I want to know what happens so that I can prevent maybe that happening to me. Like, you know, like I want to know like different things, like just to be safe, I guess. An idea.
You think you have the potential to be a serial killer?
No, but I think I could get killed.
Oh, you're on the opposite side. Yeah. So I was thinking, I was like, I could be that murderer. And I was like, interesting.
Well, I could definitely see getting killed. Like, I can definitely see, like, okay, you know, whatever, like, this happened. You know, I'm like, I try to be extra careful in my life in general, just, you know, when in whatever. But I feel like if I learn about crime and how it happens, that maybe I'll be able to prevent something from happening.
But I feel like it's also a lot of times random.
Yeah, very random.
Like, it's always like these serial killers just bumped into a person on a bad day, and then they're like, well, I'm murdering you now. It wasn't part of the plan.
And it's also like, these crimes of opportunity where people just sort of like come up upon a situation and then they just take the opportunity.
Exactly.
You know, but in the case that we're going to talk about today, this one was really interesting. A lot of the people affected by this case came from San Francisco, and this happened in the 80s. And we're talking about a murderer named Charles Ng. Now, Charles Ng is a Chinese American, and he was born in 1960 in British Hong Kong. I'm totally reading out of Wikipedia right now, by the way.
I also had never heard of this guy before.
Okay.
We decided to do this one.
He is interesting because this, I remember in the 80s, was the first time I had an awareness of an Asian American who was a killer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's so fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
We don't hear about any like Asian serial killers.
Yeah, because it's like that's just something that we just don't do. Yeah. I mean, we just don't do that. I mean,
or
most people.
Or we do it so well, nobody's caught
us. Or maybe they don't know. But most people, when you think of a serial killer, you think of an older white man.
100%.
And he did have a partner who was an older white man named Leonard Lake. And they ended up kidnapping and raping and killing many, many people. I mean, I don't exactly know. I think that they say up to 25 people were his victims. But it's something that was really interesting to me just because it was San Francisco and it was like Asian Americans you just would never think of.
Yeah, because especially with Asian men, I feel like they're always seen as very like docile and like emasculated.
Right.
So the fact that this guy is killing people and raping them is like kind of doesn't make sense to us.
Well, it's something that it's kind of like maybe it because of the archetype that we have around Asian men, maybe that was something that he was in his own way trying to rebel against.
Yeah, fascinating.
You know, and
he was like, screw you guys. I'm going to kill all these people.
I'm going to do this. And he and this other guy, Leonard Lake, they had like this place in Calaveras County, which was this remote cabin. And they would get together and they had built this thing like a dungeon. And they wanted to kind of just get these like families and basically kill the men and infants immediately and keep the women alive and rape and torture them before murdering them or allowing them to die of their injuries. It's like a very terrible, horrible situation. And I know that they had like videotaped a lot of the encounters.
Yeah, I read about that, and that's horrific.
It's so horrible. You know, and sometimes when you watch these murder shows, they'll actually show some of the clips of the videos where you sort of see them talking and sort of, it's mostly Leonard Lake talking and then sort of Charles and kind of going in and doing stuff. But it's highly disturbing.
Yeah.
It's highly upsetting. And, you know, I couldn't imagine having to endure stuff like that, you know, but also have it be shown in court and then later shown on television. It's awful.
Yeah, especially if you like your family has to watch that. If you were the one that got raped or murdered.
Yeah.
And then you have to be there.
It's so crazy. And I remember when this case happened. So what they did get apprehended, one of the things that Charles Ng had his entire life is he was always shoplifting. I think that he had some kind of a
like he's a
kleptomania.
Yeah,
I think he was a kleptomaniac because he couldn't not do it. He had to do it. And so when they were caught, it wasn't because of the murders. They were caught because he was trying to steal something from a hardware store. Like he was stealing like something that like an axe or something. Like, but they got caught because of that. And then when they got caught, they separated them, and Leonard Lake took a cyanide pill and committed suicide, which is such a coward's way out because he just didn't want to be apprehended. He didn't want to go to prison. So he committed suicide. So then they knew something was up.
Oh, and then you're like, oh yeah, this man, they're trying to steal something. And then he just dies.
Kills himself.
Yeah,
so
clearly,
it's like something's going on. Yeah. After Leonard Lake committed suicide, Ng fled to Canada where he lived. And his sister lived in Canada, and they...
When he fled, did they know he had murdered people? Or they just were suspecting that he had done something wrong?
They had known that something was going on because they found the cars that they were driving were, like, obviously not theirs. And, you know, like, they were, like, registered to one of the victims who had disappeared. And so when they went looked at the property, they found buried buckets with IDs and names, you know, so they could see like some of these people. And then they also found videotapes.
I don't know how they let him flee to Canada.
Yeah, well,
with all of that.
I mean, I think he had fled before they even knew.
Oh.
So
they didn't find this stuff.
He fled to Calgary. And he probably would have been there for a while until he was charged with shoplifting.
Oh, my God.
And sentenced to 4.5 years in prison.
That's it? Oh, no, just for the shoplifting.
Just for the shoplifting. So when he was serving his sentence, he was in there, and they were trying to extradite him back to the United States. But Canada doesn't have a death penalty. So he kept on trying to appeal, saying, you know, like, well, if I go back to California, I'll be executed, which... You know,
sure.
Which, yeah, that's probably right. But I mean, I think that I don't know. I don't have an opinion about execution exactly.
I don't know how I feel about that either.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Because I'm like, I feel like if you murdered 25 people and you are guilty, I don't know if you should live the rest of your life. I don't know how I feel about it.
I mean, I also do think, though, that execution is kind of an easy way out as well.
That's true. I guess you're not really, they're not suffering.
Right. And then it's kind of like, you know, you sort of have, I'm not sure, you know, and then there's a situation where I was working with somebody who was innocent, who was on death row, and
that part does suck.
Yeah. I worked with him. I helped to publish his book, and, of course, he was exonerated. Mm-hmm. This is Damien Echols and the West Memphis Three. They were all exonerated, but they spent about 18 years in prison. Damien was most of that time on death row.
Yeah.
So it was really gratifying when they were set free. And it was very obvious that they did not commit this murders, that, that you know.
Yeah.
So that, I thought, but after that particular situation, I sort of had to re-examine and think about, like, well, what do I actually feel about the death penalty? Obviously, if it's unjustified, like, you know, when the person's innocent, of course, yeah, of course, you've got to, like, you know. But if they are guilty, such as Charles Ng, I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, I'm not sure. He is, he was convicted of 11 of the 12 homicides that...
he didn't get convicted of the last one?
Well, it's, they were deadlocked on the last charge when he was finally tried in February 1999. He was sentenced to death, but he remains on death row now in San Quentin, which I guess they haven't had an execution in San Quentin since 2006. So wow. I don't know.
So how does that, yeah, how does that work? They just like, is it just like him appealing and then so they can't put it like...
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I mean, I think what it is like, I think it's not just him. It's not just about him. It's just that at San Quentin, they haven't had any executions there. Maybe for whatever reason. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Like didn't we just get rid of the death penalty? I thought that's what we voted on last year.
I don't know.
Or whatever election it was that I voted. Because I think I voted to get rid of the death penalty, even though I still don't really know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I kind of don't know. Like, I think, yeah, it's one of those things like, I wonder what that must be like if you're like working there as part of like staff. Like, where does that sort of make you?
Yeah,
you know,
I wonder how they feel.
Yeah, like when you, if you have to do that. I think that something like lethal injection, that they have a bunch of buttons that they're not sure who's pushing. You push all the buttons, but you don't know who actually does it. There's something randomized about it.
Whoa.
That you don't have to have sort of like absorb
you don't feel
the
like
guilty.
You killed the person right. Because you're just pushing
you're just
random
pushing
buttons.
Some random button. I don't know if I made that up in my mind, but
I mean that would be if you didn't make that up, they should do that if that's what they're not doing yet.
So there's something about where you're executing somebody but you don't have the conscience, you're not like consciously doing it.
Yeah, so you don't feel guilty about it later.
I guess
I hadn't thought about that part of it too, is like someone is actually killing people.
I mean, execution so far, like the methods have changed over the years. I mean, so many different ways. I always, my favorite, if I had to pick a favorite, would be firing squad.
Oh, you'd want?
I want the firing squad because I want the cigarette and the blindfold.
Yeah.
And it looks cool. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't look cool, but it's like, I'm sure I wouldn't think that if it was happening. But there's something about it that is very, butch.
True. And I also feel like it's very public.
It's very public, yeah. So it's like whatever kind of statement that is you're going to make about your death is going to be very amplified.
Yeah.
It's bloody. It's fast.
It's still a little painful.
It's painful, but it's probably pretty brief.
Yeah, pretty quick. Like you'll feel it, but then you'll immediately die.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would probably be preferable to hanging, which is also pretty public.
Yeah, I'm not into the hanging. Hanging, yeah, it makes me very uncomfortable.
It's really, it really freaks me out. And that's like real, like...
Also just reminds me of lynching, too.
Yeah, there's so much horrible history around it. It's just an awful, it's an awful method. And
want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
It's, yeah, it's bad. I think, well, I guess stoning, I think that would suck.
Yeah, that would suck. Because I feel like nobody's very good at stoning other people.
It's so, stoning is just so kind of, there's something dodgeball about it.
Yeah.
That's very, you're just like.
It's very amateur.
Yeah, it's just like people throwing rocks.
It's just like a bully.
Yeah, and there's just, it seems kind of messy.
Yeah, and I truly don't think it would take quite a few stonings to like get the person.
It would take a long time. That's a lot. Yeah. I don't think that would be good. And then I mean, lethal injection is probably your best bet if you had to go that way.
Yeah, I think. But if I were in the chair, I think that would be sad if I died that way. It seems very sad and lonely.
Like in the lethal injection.
Yeah.
Also, electric chair is terrible too. Oh, that looks really terrible. That's like. I mean, you know what I hate? It's like if I'm like staying someplace where it's snowing outside and then my feet are on the carpet and I'm walking real fast and then I hit my doorknob and an electric shock.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that so much that
you definitely can't have the electric chair.
If the electric chair would just be the worst.
I also wonder what it looks like with your hair. Like, does it like poof up?
I think that they also have to shave at least part of your head to get the electrodes on there.
Oh my God.
Which is fine. I don't care about that. But like, I think I would just rather just shave the whole head.
Yeah.
Because then it's, at least it's aesthetically a little bit more.
I didn't realize they were putting things on people's heads.
I think so.
I thought it was just like you just strap down and something happens. I think
they shave a part of your leg too. What? And then they put a strap around there. I don't know. I think it's much more involved.
Yeah, that's way more complicated than I thought. I thought you just get strapped in the chair. They like basically stick you with a wire and then you die.
No, I think it's like they have to shave your leg.
Oh my God.
I think there's like a lot going down.
Can you imagine if you had to shave the person
in the chair? Would be weird. Yeah, that would just be weird.
That's your job?
That would be a weird thing to do. I mean, I think that, yeah, it's like... Yeah, I don't know if any of this is going to happen to Charles Ng. I don't know what's going to happen to Charles Ng.
I mean, he might just live.
I think he's just going to live because, I mean, and he's about 60 now.
Oh, he's not that old.
He's young. I mean, as far as this, you know, and he's been in prison now for kind of a long time. And I mean, it's just a weird, like, I think that, like, when I look at him and I sort of read about him, I think, oh, he's like he's an incel.
He's like an OG incel.
Yeah, he's like one of the founding fathers of incel. God. Like, it's like, this is that sort of, I think that's kind of what it is. That's sort of the vibe. What it is. Yeah, like a very...
He's like, I can't talk to women.
Yeah, misogynist and like has to kill women because he just can't stand that their power over him or anything.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
But does he feel guilty about any of this?
You know, it's so weird because I think he doesn't really have a sense of that. You don't have a sense of him having sort of a regret or...
Yeah, because when I was reading, I didn't really say anything where he was like, no. Oh, I feel bad and now I'm born again or whatever.
No, he's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, he just does. He just seems That's very insane. Like non-responsive about any of it. So maybe he's kind of, maybe it is just sort of like, he just doesn't care. There's a real selfishness when it comes. I mean, especially like to not want to come out of like Canada and to use that against, you know, being extradited, that they're going to execute
insane.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, that is so, there's so many selfish things about that, there doesn't seem to be a sense of like regret or anything or guilt or anything.
There's clearly something off about him.
Yeah. That there's something about him that reminds me of Cho Sung-hui, who is the shooter at Virginia Tech, who I think he killed 31 people and 32, including himself. And he also had a lot of issues about women and real anger towards them. And then there was a kind of, sometimes you would look at their picture and there was a real emptiness behind their eyes. You know, which I think is like, I don't know what that is. I couldn't say it. There's like way I got to diagnose that.
Yeah.
But if there's an emptiness that is just like sort of, or if there's anything, there's like kind of a blank rage.
Well, did that person's parents ever say anything about him or Charles?
Oh, well, with I don't know if the family had said much about Charles Ng, but I know that with Cho Sung-hui, I remember when that happened. Korea actually apologized, which is such a weird thing to do. Weird. It's super weird.
Because he was like American.
Yeah, he's American. Yeah, yeah. So Korea's like, sorry. But it's like weird.
It's not your
It had
fault.
Nothing to do with you.
It truly had nothing to do with
but
you.
But I think it was like the part of it was the parents had a lot of regret because they had something against putting him into an institution.
Oh.
That there was something at some point developmentally that they had some reservations about his treatment. And they didn't really fully engage themselves in actively treating him. And that's
gotcha.
Part of the parents' regret around that, as far as I know.
That also might be like cultural, too.
It is cultural. Yeah. I mean, my family, they don't... I have a lot of mental illness in my family, but they often... They don't talk about it. They don't go into therapy. And every few years, somebody will jump out the window.
Oh, my gosh.
But never a very high floor. So it's like they're not that serious about it.
Yeah.
So they're... Kind of serious, but not that serious.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a mild to middling
like, it's
problem.
Fine.
It's fine.
It's like, we don't need to talk about it. It's not
fine.
Great, but we're
it's,
doing
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, we're doing fine. And I remember my cousin was treated for her anorexia. She was very, very anorexic, and she had jumped out the window.
Oh, my gosh.
And they she moved into a mental hospital, and then... Her mom moved in with her to make a big show of it.
Oh, my God.
Kind of
God.
Like, we're in this together. So
what?
The mom kind of stole her...
Thunder?
Girl Interrupted Thunder.
Yeah.
Her mom interrupted her Girl Interrupted Thunder.
I mean, she must have hated that also.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
I think, like, she just started eating because she was just like, fuck this shit.
So it kind of worked.
It kind of worked. It kind of worked.
So funny.
But yeah, that's sort of the way that my family deals with mental illness. Not head on. It's kind of just from the side.
Yeah, but I think that's a lot of like Asians.
Yeah, we just don't
like
want
culturally.
To admit that there's problems, especially mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And especially that, I mean, that's part of like the model minority myth is that we really don't act like those problems apply to us.
Yeah, or that we can just solve it. Or like if we don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Right. We can solve it unto ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is not, I mean, that's not the way to go about it either.
No. But I'm also guilty about it. I just read a lot of self-help books and I'm like, I'll work on myself.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone to therapy. I've actually been institutionalized, which I really shine in an institution, by the way. I look great when I'm there.
And the star of
I'm the star always. I always get all of the prizes. I always win all the talent shows and everything.
So
it's
funny.
Really great. But I do love the luxury of taking a pause in life and going, I need to just be put away for a while.
Oh, yeah. I've thought about that, too. I'm like, it seems nice to just not have to do normal day-to-day things and just be in a place for a amount of time. And
it helps.
You know, time stops.
Yeah. And I think it's really... It's a really good thing to do, especially because show business can be really crazy.
Totally.
And make you crazy. And so if you can prevent bad things from happening, my way of doing that is ensuring that I have some good mental health resources at my disposal if I need it. And that can be up to like going and living somewhere for a while.
Yeah, but the main issue is it's so expensive.
That's true.
Yeah. It's definitely like a... There's an income disparity with that.
It is.
Like
it's really,
it's like, it's not affordable.
It's not.
Yeah.
But it's also like, what's your life worth? You know, for me, it's
what's
my life worth? It's worth that. But it's also like a lot of people can't necessarily
afford that. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've had friends that like debated whether or not they could go because they're like, well, I could go, but how am I going to pay for it later?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's so
very
expensive.
It's very, very expensive. And, but it's like, a lot of Asian Americans or Asian families like would just never consider putting their kids into anything like that or like
anything. It's like, it seems like shameful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is those, the secretive nature of like the way that our lives are, you know, they don't like to talk about problems.
Yeah.
And then these big problems happen. So I don't know. I don't know what Charles Ng's family sort of had to deal with when they were sort of raising him. And it's a different era, too. So it would be like the 60s and 70s. So immigration was different. The idea of like, what is a man? What is an Asian American man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very different. So I don't know.
I'm like fascinated. Nobody's done like a documentary about this.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what is the reflection of like the sort of minority status, the juxtaposition of male archetypes as opposed to like who you feel you are, that feeling of being really invisible, like as an Asian American, because we never saw each other on TV or ourselves on TV or movies, not until, I guess, the 90s, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, like, what does that do to somebody, you know, that feeling of invisibility?
Hey, maybe if he saw your sitcom,
maybe
he would have not murdered all of these people.
I mean, maybe. You know, like, I wonder if that's even a part of his thinking, like, is, like, that need to be seen. Is it the same? Is it, because there's something so foreign, not just foreign, like, Chinese, it's foreign, like, human being behind his eyes. There's an emptiness that's like, I don't even know what kind of person this is.
Right.
You know, the blankness.
I'm still, like, I still think it's crazy they didn't catch him until he was just stealing stuff.
Yeah. Maybe because they just didn't suspect him.
Well, I was just going to say, it was probably that. They were like, it can't be this Chinese guy.
Yeah, it can't possibly
There's
be.
No way. It's got to be some white guy we missed.
Yeah. And, but it was this, these two guys just living up in Calaveras County. It's so strange.
That's so crazy.
I don't know. But I think that it's something, yeah, they should do a documentary about it. I bet they're...
I feel like they they definitely should do a documentary about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And he's still alive.
There's interest,
so they
yeah.
should totally, like,
they should get
go
in
interview.
There and ask. And, yeah. You know, I would be curious to know so much because it's just...
His
it's
parents might
very
be alive,
interesting.
Too.
So, yeah, probably. Yeah. They're probably around. It's like a... It's such a weird case. Weird situation. Weird person. But I'm glad we got to do this.
Me too.
I'm glad. Where can people find out about you and your shows and your comedy, which is very funny, and where you can be seen on anywhere?
You can find my website, irene2.com. My mm-hmm. last name's T-U. Mm-hmm. Or on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, social media, at irene_TU. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of stand-up mostly.
Yeah.
And then... You know, we'll see if I have some projects coming out soon on
yes.
the internet. You know,
I
never want to jinx it. So,
yeah,
you know, just Google me. It'll come up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to see. I want to see.
Sure.
We will see. Thank you, Irene.
Taking Thanks so much, Margaret. My dreams waking me out of my sleep.
I think I'm coming apart. The Margaret Show is an Irios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark,
coming out of the dark. Yeah, coming out of the dark. Irios. Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.